This is the official chip of the podcast. It's the Korean barbecue flavored chip from Kettle.
This is, I didn't know it was KBBQ. It's like, I was like, it's new, it's barbecue, but it's like better than regular ass barbecue.
It's got that funky.
Amazing.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. We are blessed this holiday season to be visited again by one of our favorite podcast guests, Ms. Terry Gamble.
Oh my God, thanks guys. Happy to be back.
The ghost of podcast past.
Oh, you will be haunted today by many things. Maybe 12. these choices of songs mostly.
I consider this, you know, during the holiday season, we gather with friends and loved ones and family. And here we are with our good friend and loved one and family member, Terry Gamble.
Yeah, thanks guys.
And today we are going to continue to prove the hard case that this podcast is making, that all songs ever written are about one of three things. That would be heroin or butt sex or Lord of the Rings. What would you guys say about that? Do you think that's accurate, Terry?
I think you guys are proving it's quite true. Mm-hmm. And I really respect you for your hard-hitting reporting and investigation. So thank you so much for doing, you know, really the Lord's work, or should I say the Lord of the Rings work?
Yeah. We might be doing the Dark Lord's work. It is very possible.
The dead men of Dunharrow may have been, some of them, convinced while worshiping Sauron that they were on the right side of history.
Everyone thinks they're on the right side when they're like worshiping some like terrible, you know, Dark Lord or some terrible dark deity, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Or they're too blinded by insecurity and fear that they can't quite get to a place of equanimity to make a rational choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We live in dark times, friends.
Dark times in America. Dark times at Christmas time. Today we are going to tackle two Christmas songs as promised in the last episode with Aaron Brooks. We chose Good King Wenceslas and we chose The 12 Days of Christmas. Two really bizarre songs.
You guys were definitely like, intoxicated of some level choosing these songs.
We were on that Korean barbecue chip high.
Yes. That chip,
the spice.
So good. I get it. These are spicy choices.
Spicy choices. Yeah, we've had, this is the second spicy song in a row because we are about to desecrate two beloved Christmas tunes. The first of which is going to be Good King Wenceslas. This version, written by John Mason Neal, 1853.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither, thou and I will see him dine, when we bear them
All the links will be included in the show notes to do your own research and see whether you agree with us or disagree. Here are the lyrics so we can get right down to it. Mm-hmm. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter's fuel. Hither, page, and stand by me. If thou knowest it, telling yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes's fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I shall see him dine, when we bear him thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together. Through the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. Sire, the night is darker now and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, good my page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. These are the lyrics to Good King Wants a Slice. Uh-huh. So this is very weird. You guys have any ideas here? Because I think this is pretty cut and dry. I was a little up in the air on the previous episode, sort of like looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I think that we know what's going on here, don't we?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Do we have to figure out? I'm curious.
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm perfectly willing to investigate the other two, mm-hmm. and I have no doubt that there may be a Lord of the Rings interpretation here.
Uh-huh.
Always.
Or a heroin interpretation, although this is a little early for heroin, I will say. No, this is not early for heroin. This is...
There would be opium, right?
1853.
Yeah.
Opium, and mm-hmm. probably even at that point, heroin is in England. But... when we get to 12 Days of Christmas, we'll see that heroin was probably not in England yet, but opium definitely was by the late 1700s.
Yeah.
In this case, yeah, it's possible that this is a heroin song, but I think
definitely butt sex.
This is a butt sex song. What do you think, Sean?
I actually think it's a heroin song.
You think
I'll tell you the reason. I've got just one thing that really makes me think it's not a butt sex song is that they make a big deal about St. Agnes's fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. St. Agnes is a symbol of chastity, got murdered rather than have sex, even though she was like a rich lady,
okay,
so
but
devout.
The thing about those old British people and like chastity and shit is it was butt sex you could have because it wouldn't make a baby. You could still be called a virgin because it was in your arse and not in your vagina.
Okay. I mean,
I'm going to even say that it might actually be a stronger case now that you've said that.
Oh.
For old-timey British butt sex.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, I mean, they do... He is gathering winter fuel, which at the time
it's wood.
Would probably be called faggots of wood at this point.
Yep.
He's looking for wood. So let me just give you the heroin case real quickly,
sure.
And then we can get into butt gex. Mm-hmm. It's set to the melody of a 13th century spring carol called Tempus Adest Floridum, which is the time is near for flowering. They talk about the Feast of Stephen. What happened to St. Stephen? He got stoned to death.
Okay, the flowering, you mean that would represent
the poppy.
The poppies,
yeah, yeah.
Like, from abroad, though. I just wonder whether the English noble society that had access to, like, the heavy drugs from the East even understood that they came from this beautiful red flower.
Oh, I think this guy knows it. This guy's a well-read guy.
Okay.
Talks about the winter's rage freezing his blood. What does the page do? He follows the tracks of his master here. And, they're together. Look, they're slumming here. Mm-hmm. They're going into the hovel. They're following the poor peasant. They're going to a shooting gallery here. That's what
I
think.
So your case seems to be that the they're in the middle of St. Stephen's Feast, which is December 26th.
Mm-hmm. Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. This king is like, I want to go out and party with some crackheads. So he gets this little kid to be like, where's that guy live? Take me there. And then he goes out into the beggar's sort of the hovel.
He's like, yeah, under a mountain. Like, right. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, we got to go to this cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to hang out in this cave while he gets his stuff. Got to get some wine. We got to bring him some shit. We're like really cold because we're really fiending right now.
Got the shakes.
Yeah, yeah. I feel this wind. My heart is beating really. Right. Falls my heart. I don't know. Oh, I can't go any longer without this smack.
Okay.
And then.
So were they injecting heroin in 1853 by this time?
They're probably smoking opium there, but okay. I think they've probably. I think they do have syringes at this point. I'm pretty sure they did
in
the 1850s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Do we have anything
else? I'm about to smack you. Super, I mean, I'm sure you are aware of the
I understand that there is
the butt.
And
so you're saying that the St. Agnes fountain is just an argument against sex in general.
He's basically saying, like, I understand how this sounds, this king and his page are going out in the wild, but look, this is St. Agnes's fountain. These guys, this is the feast of St. Stephen. It's when you get stoned. And in case you're confused about it, we're passing St. Agnes's fountain, which means you don't do anything. You're a virgin completely.
Okay.
I mean, the original Wenceslas,
he's sainted. Yeah, he's a Catholic.
He's not really a king either. He's a duke. Mm-hmm. But there is a weird... So the Lord of the Rings legend of this is... Okay. There is a Czech legend that an army of knights sleeps under Blanik, which is a mountain in the Czech Republic. When the Czech people are in grave danger, the statue of St. Wenceslas will come to life. The army of the dead will wake up, and Wenceslas will slay all their enemies.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
And that feels very Lord of the Rings.
The weird thing about the real Saint Wenceslas is that the songs about, like, oh, the page followed in his footsteps. And
in his fiery footsteps.
Yes. Yeah. And what actually happened was Wenceslas got murdered by his brother Borislav, and then the page followed in his footsteps trying to avenge the death and also got murdered by Borislav.
Oh, no.
It's a little bit of a more redemptive version in the Christmas Carol that they're not both going to their bloody, bloody deaths.
They probably don't want to talk about that every Christmas.
In that interpretation, at the end of the song, they say, you know, therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourself find blessing. It's sort of an odd interpretation of that to say that you can follow in the footsteps of the saint.
Yeah.
Like the page.
And like martyr yourself.
Yeah, you're also
too.
A martyr. Yeah.
You're a martyr. But this is, so I guess what I'd say is probably in the colloquial interpretation of this or the contemporary interpretation of this at the time would just simply mean like you're martyring yourself, meaning like you're giving away a little bit of your stuff to charity.
It's
a very mild version of martyring. Well, we see this again with Stephen, the Feast of Stephen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a martyr. Agnes is a martyr. I think this is actually the Saint Stephen from like AD 35, but I might be wrong about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's like a Greek Jew who is like, no, Jesus has it right. And they're like, no, we're going to drill you with these stones now for speaking out.
Really?
This is why it's difficult when there's too many people with the same name.
Right. It's not like it's Stephen.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And I think that's why his saint day is right after Christmas, because he's like
the next
post Jesus martyr. Yeah.
Got it.
He was also following in some footsteps, I guess.
That's true.
But when I was in the sand and you saw me or whatever, and I just saw that one set of footsteps.
That was actually St. Stephen going to get heroin. Yeah.
I guess I can sort of see that, but I mean, let's, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready to get to the butts.
First, let me dispense with the Lord of the Rings thing as far as I can tell with this. I just don't know. I mean, I guess I'm saying I don't have a...
That army rising up, though, that was a really good... I didn't even think about that imagery, but that's straight up.
But I'm going pretty far outside the text at that point.
Yeah,
that's the only
that's
thing
true.
I would say. But,
it's the inference.
But it is weird that legend is... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, but hold on. In this case, would this be going right back to the well we visited last time on the last episode where we're with the King of the Dead?
I mean, it's just a very similar story. I think it's probably more likely that Tolkien was like a Wenceslas fan.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
As a super Christian, but it is weird that we got these both in a row.
Yeah. It is weird.
I think Wenceslas Day is also like the day that the Czech people consider the beginning of their statehood, or when they commemorate it, I guess.
Cool.
But it is not at Christmas time.
I wonder when it is.
In some traditions, the Feast of Stephen is celebrated in August.
Well, that's when they say Jesus was actually born too, though. There's Republic. Like a whole.
No, that's probably, yeah.
There's like a whole thing about him being like born like in August, not in December anyway. Right. So that would make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Well, it's a displacement. Like, it's either going to happen on the winter festival or the fall festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this goes above and beyond any religion. This is simply what humans do when you put them in a circular climate situation. They have feasts and celebrations in the fall. They have one mm-hmm. big one in the middle of winter that may last more than a week, just like our Christmas to New Year's situation currently operates. This has been...
We gather together.
Yes. Disregarding religion.
We gather together. Yeah. Just because it's freaking cold and we need resources too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, we're going to get together and have this party. Can you please bring apples? Okay, I'll bring oranges. Okay, I'll bring like, and everyone brings something to collectively share or trade or gift each other based on what the bounty of the harvest of the season.
Exactly.
Right?
And if I'm going to travel here, I'm going to stay. I'm not going right back into the snow.
I'm here for like a week because it's cold out there and I'd rather cuddle with you guys and like puddle up with you.
This is how I think about going to like Venice Beach from the east side of LA. I'm like, look, if I'm coming to Venice Beach, I'm fucking staying on your couch. Just FYI. I'm not getting a $25 Uber back.
This is a true West Side story. This is hilarious. For those of you who are not in Los Angeles, going to the other side of town is a chore.
Yeah.
And like if you're over there, like I'm going to the stores that I know like are on the east, on the west side, then I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta get to that record shop that I've like always loved to go to.
Right. Especially during the winter when you're like
it's too cold.
Yeah. It's too cold now. Like
what is it, 30 degrees tonight? It was 38 this morning from my house, so geez. I get it. It was cold.
Cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna run through like I did the lyrics. But now I'm going to narrate what happens in this song.
I like this.
If you can say that this is not a butt sex song, like, I will give it to you. Okay. It's already the second day of, like, celebration time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This person, I'm assuming this is a small hamlet. It's not like a giant castle that Good King Wenceslas is standing on the parapet of and is just looking out on this nice... Eve, he's probably already toasted up. They've been celebrating for 2 days. It's now like midnight on day two. He's got a young page with him, which is probably somebody between the ages of 9 and, I don't know, 17.
Mm-hmm.
A young man who works at the castle. He obviously doesn't live at the castle because if he did, he wouldn't know where this beggar lives. He lives out there among the beggars. That's the only way he would know when King Wenceslas asks this page, like, who the fuck is that guy and where does he live? The page has an answer. Oh, he lives out in the slums just like me.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Good King Wenceslas is like, okay, let's go. Here's my plan. Like, inside the castle, he's two things going on. Inside the castle, he has them like boil up a bath, start cooking another meal. This is not for the noble people of the castle. This is just for this beggar, supposedly. Now, Wenceslas and the page, then just the two of them. Not like he's not there with his trusted advisors, the queen. He's not there with his family. He's there with like this little kid.
Yeah, the dude that follows him around all the time.
Yeah, the dude that follows him around and picks up
his body cores.
His body man. So the two of them go off into the snow. Do they find the beggar? No, they do not. Do they bring the beggar back? Is there any description of them like bathing up or giving any food or any anything to this person? No. What happens is Good King Wenceslas, this heralded figure, wanders off into the forest with this young boy, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, but it's deep and crisp and even.
Yeah.
That's part of the story. And you know,
I do acknowledge that in the best case scenario to Wenceslas' plan, they're bathing a naked man, a dirty naked man that they felt.
Quite possible. Yeah. And like some like little like hot spring somewhere.
I thought it was more
a winter bath
cutting
house.
Loose because everybody was praying on Christmas and you go nuts on December 26th. Definitely, I would be questioning this if I were the page's father. For sure.
Nah, that page's father is like, I got paid cash. Like, yeah, he's probably fine.
I'm in the mountain.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm under the mountain too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the page's parents probably live out by St. Agnes Fountain as well. That's how the page knows.
Yeah, or they're like another Duke's kid.
Yeah, and that's why he got sent over there.
They're sealing that pact the traditional way.
It might have been just like a beggar that King Wenceslas thought was cute. This is sort of like Hugh Grant pulling over on the side of the road and being like, oh, yeah. Hey, honey. Like, yeah. I'm on
Santa Monica Boulevard. That's fine.
I like the look of you.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'm just saying, like, he's really interested in that particular
record. He's like, you'll host. Your place or mine.
Who's that?
But he's like scavenging for firewood, right?
Yeah.
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 And then when you get to the end of the song, it says, therefore, Christian men, like, check out this model right here, which is if you're really charitable, you can get away with all kinds of sick shit in your castle.
Not wrong.
I mean, so that's my butt kiss.
Commentary on the world, really.
That's capitalism and, you know, in a nutshell, and just wealth and yay.
Well, yeah, I think that's what's going on right now. Like, there's this sort of raging debate about should we tax billionaires, or should billionaires have that money to then do crazy charitable drives that the government couldn't possibly achieve? If he wasn't so wealthy and his taxes went back to the crown and then they distributed them more equally, that'd be fine. This is making an argument. This is an oligarchic argument saying, be charitable, and then that'll keep the higher ups off your back because you're a force for good in the world. Also, meanwhile, you get some trim.
Well, I thought what you were saying is trim. Like, if you just leave charity to the rich people, they're going to fuck us.
Well, that is also the other version of this. And absolutely correct, I think, right?
Sure. The butt fucking of...
Yeah, bless the poor by conquering their asses.
Yeah, therefore, men of power and wealth and influence, make sure to get to, you know...
Spread it around.
On Christmas, at least.
Especially for a holiday.
It is weird, though, that like the big climax of the song is just warm feet.
Sorry.
Climax of the schlong.
Yeah,
it's warm feet. Today.
It's just warm feet. Like, that's what happens. He's
but
like,
warm feet is like necessary for... Oh.
Sure.
For like
for women to orgasm?
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Honestly, I wear really thick socks right now.
Well, but you know, it's also like just in this song, like I'm sure you've noticed, the beggar completely disappears from the song.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the song, the subject is the page who's being like, wow, this saint is so hot. And we've completely lost track of the original mission, which was charity. And now we're just in the woods with a nubile young boy.
Yeah. And people are, I just imagine the people who are preparing the bath are just like,
where are they?
They've been gone a while.
Yes.
It does not take that long to get to St. Agnes's Fountain.
Yep.
And I know what's going to happen at the end of this song. They're not going to find the beggar. Wenceslas is going to carry this freezing young boy back to the castle and be like, oh, he did so well out there in the snow. Let's get him in a hot bath. It's just so transparent. I'm so sorry to do this to you guys on Christmas, but you know.
You're not.
Look, it's yeah.
You're so not.
He's like, here.
You love it. He's like smiling so big out there, dear listener. Pure joy.
So I don't know. What do you guys think? Did I get you on that one?
Yeah, I think so. It is a weird Christmas carol, though.
It's a fucking weird song.
Because the top interpretation is...
It also...
Just a wildly inappropriate relationship for whatever reason.
They're just lost in the snow together.
It's like Jeffrey Epstein's sleigh,
like,
you know?
What the fuck? Honestly, I'll warm you up.
Wenceslas, I'm going to say this. King Wenceslas, you're canceled.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bad King Wenceslas.
It's kind of bad. He does stop the Mongols, but just because he has like a mountain. They have to go through a mountain pass, and then they're like, fuck this. We don't need Czechoslovakia.
All right, so I really bullied my way through that one, I think.
You did, but I was already on board,
It was good.
I was pretty on board.
You Wenceslas'd it, honestly.
Yeah,
you shoved it through.
Shoved it in.
All right, I think we're saying Good King Wenceslas. Good King Wenceslas by John Mason Neal, 1853, is about butt sex.
Yep.
Congratulations to Wenceslas. Congratulations to that page.
Merry Christmas. And we can move on to a very tough song, The 12 Days of Christmas, another Christmas classic. This song is a bunch of things. This is like a many-factored song. This song is a Christmas game.
Yep.
It's sort of a memory game where each person is assigned one of the things, and then when the song comes back around to that person, you have to remember what your thing is, and mm-hmm. then you say it. You can see that joke made on that in the Muppets Christmas special where Fozzie keeps forgetting his line. It was sort of a game played in a round with a group on over the holidays. And this song, just like the last song, has little to do with Christianity. Efforts to say that this song represents some sort of a catechism or memoriam of the tenets of Christianity is largely debunked. It's really just more of a winter festival type song game. The tune to it was only put in place in the late 1700s, and it has a French Norman origin, so that early on it may have had a separate tune or a tune that we don't know, or it may have just been like, on the first day of Christmas, my brother gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
OG rap is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It may have just been a word speaking sort of.
I have always believed that white people invented rap music, so this is encouraging. There you go.
Wow. Okay, cool, guys. This was fun.
Thank you, Terry, for coming on.
It was Debbie.
Goodbye. I'm going to take some of these chips. Bye.
It was Debbie Harry, right? Oh, she was Debbie, the first rapper.
Debbie Harry, first number one rap song in America. It's kind of one of the biggest tragedies in music history that she was given the track to Rapture, which is such a dope track. It was given to the most inept rapper, perhaps of all time.
Look,
she did what she could.
All the best hip hop is about eating cars. No one disputes this.
And you don't stop.
You don't stop.
You keep on eating cars.
Cars.
Good job, Debbie.
Oh God. anywho's.
Well, and then briefly, I will say that there's very, very strong evidence. Before I do the lyrics here. That some of these lyrics actually come from French and are simply mistranslations.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. That makes a hell of a lot more sense. Because this song is so weird. You learn words because little kids don't know what a freaking half of these things are anyway.
Sure, they don't. They just say
Yeah, and they just say them along and it's really fun.
You have a four-year-old saying like a partridge in a pear tree and they don't know what it means.
They have no idea what any of those words are.
Right, and it actually goes back originally to, hold on, let me find it here.
Mm-hmm.
The original French phrase is a partridge in a pear tree. Well, it's a partridge is the English word, un pedri is the French word. So it's sort of like
partridge. Is that what that is?
Yeah, but basically, it may have been a sort of a Norman English way of saying like a
partridge. You're translating.
Yeah, it's a translation.
It's like non bread.
A partridge, un pedri.
Chai tea.
Yeah.
Right, and pedri sounds like pear tree. So that's probably the origin of that phrase. I was actually suspicious that maybe it meant sort of like a certain type of dish, because what I
like
realized,
a petri dish?
Yes, like a petri dish. Yeah. No, that it may have meant like the equivalent of like a toad in the hole or a turducken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
But
some delicious thing.
Because when you start looking through these gifts, most of them are actually dishes.
Oh,
that's what
so we're just lining up foods.
Right, because so the 12 days
a 12
of Christmas...
A 12-course meal is really what it is what you're saying then.
In a sense, but it's a 12-day feast.
Because French hens are just straight-up chickens, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I guess the idea of the 12 days of Christmas, obviously there's a 12-day festival of Christmas that starts on December 25th and goes all the way to the 6th of January. Mm-hmm. St. Stephen's Day is the second one, and each one ending, I think, with the Feast of the Epiphany, which is supposedly when the Magi discovered the Christ child.
Got it.
It wasn't the day of Christ's birth.
No, they came later.
They came 12 days later. And that's the sort of span of the 12 days of Christmas.
That's what, like, more like schedule. A lot of Orthodox like religions celebrate in January on that kind of day, mm-hmm. as well.
So if mm-hmm. you're looking at a 12-day feast, these gifts actually start to make a lot more sense.
Got it. Because if I want to have some more foods and some cool stuff,
yeah.
I want to bring in the French hens a few mm-hmm. days later. Okay.
So like the most confusing thing about this song is that 6 out of the 12 gifts are birds.
Yeah, because people like birds.
But not for pets. They're
delicious.
They're eating them.
Yeah.
Yes. God, it's got to be so decadent to eat a swan.
Oh, dude, we're killing the fucking swan. This is how desperate and bitter cold it is in England in the winter, is that they're going out on the lake and fucking sniping down the swan. They're like, hey, isn't there like a swan that lives out on the lake? Let's kill that fucker and bring it in here.
Starving.
They're starving. Go watch A Lion in Winter. Have you guys ever seen that movie?
Lion in Winter? I have not.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's Anthony Hopkins' first feature film role.
Oh, wow.
It's Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn as Henry IV. And
oh, wow.
And the King of England is so rich that he has ice. That's like how rich he is. Like when you realize the squalor that even the monarchs of an entire nation lived in the 1400s, it's a healthy reminder of the plush potato chip laden situation.
Of the lives we live now.
The kettle chip.
Cranberry
decadence.
Seltzer.
Decadence.
The Korean barbecue crunch of the kettle chip that we live in today.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not going to redo this whole round that this song requires. We only have three of us here, so we're going to just skip through this real fast. Here are the gifts. And it's varied throughout history as whether it's like the first day of Christmas my true love sent to me or gave to me, or on the first day of Christmas or whatever. Like there's various forms at that. But these are the gifts given by either a true love or a loved one, or sometimes also a mother. So these are also sometimes an earlier listed as on the blank day of Christmas, or the blank day of Christmas my mother gave to me.
Oh.
It's sort of like an earlier version that existed. Okay. Mm-hmm. This version first published 1780 without any music attached to it at all. And then was
pure
later
hip hop.
Pure hip hop. This is pure rap. Later, Frederick Austin in 1909 provided the most common current version of the song. And that version appears thusly. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. And that's the last time I'll do that. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens. On the fourth day, four calling birds. As if you notice here, we're four in and we have assembled four.
A gaggle of birds.
A lot of birds. We got seven.
We got 10 birds already.
10 birds already. And we're only 4 days in. On the fifth day of Christmas, we get 5 gold rings. On the sixth day, we get 6 geese a-laying. So these may be geese that have eggs inside. Yeah, and then if you cook that goose, you cook the eggs too. That's pretty dope. That's some wild shit. And then we transition here because the entire rest of the song, the gifts are actually people.
And this is where, slavery? Is that what's going on?
This is where we get into the other side of the face of this song. Number 8, we have 8 maids a-milking. 9 ladies dancing, 10 lords a-leaping.
Of the rings?
Sorry. 11 pipers piping, and 12 drummers drumming. So it's like a, that's like a whole they got a high school band.
Yeah, they got a full parade.
Yeah.
It's full on Macy's. Like what this is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This is like the idea.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Because they always have that one big turkey Garfield, that comes Garfield out, you know? And then
one Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
I got to say, though, pretty sure this is a Lord of the Rings song.
You know are? Why? It's got rings right in the middle, and that we it's come back to it every time. The rings that rule them all. Yeah.
But why? But yeah. Then, Sean, I just as you go into this, why is the numerology so off?
Well, part of it is that it's, you know, it's like an educational counting song. I can all... I'll make the case for each of the gifts in a second, but the thing that really struck me, it's excessively long. You can repeat all the items every time or not, which is like your choice of the extended edition or just the regular theatrical cut. Mm-hmm. But it just so obviously is set to the tune of 15 Birds and 15 Fir Trees, which is a song
that the
orcs sing in The Hobbit.
All right. Do you want me to cue up
I'll a cappella this one if you want. Either way.
Sure, you should be ready
okay.
either way.
Okay. 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 15 birds in 5 fir trees, their feathers fanned in a fiery breeze. What funny little birds, they had no wings. Oh, what should we do with the funny things? Roast them alive, stew them in a pot, fry them, boil them, and eat them hot. Bake and toast and fry and roast them till beards blaze and eyes glaze, till hair smells and skins crack, fat melts and bones black, and cinders lie beneath the sky. It's like it's the same song. It is the same song.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
And watching you do that, though, with your head bobbing the whole time was adorable. Okay. Very intense.
I would also say, look, some of these maybe are questionable and could have lost in translation, but I think the partridge in a pear tree, we're talking about somebody being rescued in a tree by an eagle. It constantly happens all the time. Two turtle doves, these are... You know, these stand out from regular doves because they're a little smaller, but they're a symbol of romance. Sam and Frodo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Best romance ever.
Three French hens. As we said, they're chickens. So I'm going to call these chickens are Denethor, the steward of Minas Tirith, Saruman.
Coward.
And Barlam and Butterbur. Not as pure a coward, but very forgetful and sort of scared.
Hold on. Roll us through because people may not know this.
Oh, sorry. He runs the inn in Bree, the prancing pony.
And he lets the Nazgul in to try to kill the folks?
Or? Yeah, because he doesn't want to stand up. And he's like... It's like a good guy, but he forgets stuff a lot, and as a result, he's kind of... Okay, four calling birds. Like we said, these are blackbirds. They're talking about the Dunedain, the rangers of the north, Aragorn's companions. Okay,
among them.
Five golden rings, like we Lord of the Rings.
So I'm saying...
Well, here's what I'm saying for the golden rings. We got the Ring of Power.
Mm-hmm.
We got the three... Elvish rings.
Okay, right. Now we got four rings.
Yeah, yeah. And the only other ring that we really encounter in the books is the one that is Thrain, the Dwarf Lord's ring, which is taken to him after he gets tormented, taken from him after he gets tormented in Dol Guldur. This is Thorin Oakenshield's dad.
Now, I guess some of this, I guess my issue dealing with it, I will say that it's quite easy to imagine that Tolkien was drawing from the same sort of cultural, mythological, religious, pseudo-religious source material as this song. So it's
full on. It seems like the right time.
I guess it's not too hard to imagine him sort of doing away with all the numerology that's based into this song. Because in all of this, especially when it deals with the central numerology of the Lord of the Rings, where we have... 1, 3, 5, 9. We never, and then 17. You know, these numbers. And 12 is omitted.
Go like to 14 occasionally.
Right. But it's not terribly surprising to me to, as someone who's creating fiction, to just go, I'm going to stay away from the numbers that Christianity uses. Because unlike C.S. Lewis, Tolkien was not making this story a Christian allegory at all.
No.
In fact, he wanted to sort of go like, okay, we're starting from scratch. We're going to use everything. We're going to use Christianity. We're going to use Islam. We're going to use Gilgamesh, we're going to use the Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. We're going to use anything I can get my hands on to build this new
epic tale world. Yeah.
So it's not surprising, I guess, that he would purposely avoid Catholic and Christian numbers. So I think that's pretty, it's pretty interesting case. Yeah. But
I think it's really damn good. Not just interesting. I'm going to say it. I like it. It's pretty solid to me.
Certainly, A for effort at the very least.
That's a lot of research and work on this, because there's a lot of pieces to this freaking song. Mm.
Well, Sean is, you know, it's his full-time job doing, you know.
Like, I do this honestly, professionally.
So proud.
I got a MacArthur Genius Grant, actually.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Yeah. That's how we started this podcast, is Sean got a Genius Grant.
That's how we can afford all these chips. We would still like them to sponsor
you,
us, though.
You have really nice kettle chips.
Yeah. These are kettle Korean barbecue flavored crunchy.
I like that you guys are trying to get this sponsor. This is like me and my other podcast at a horror movie survival guide. We're always trying to get Mr. Kipling because like my co-host loves
what
those
is
little,
that?
They're little like little pies from England. There's no way we're
what
ever
are
gonna,
they called?
Mr. Kipling.
That's
they are
so
delicious
good.
And they do all these amazing flavors and like the amount of shout outs we have given to that damn pie. It's right on brand.
These are some solid chips.
No.
So 12 days. I don't have anything other than Lord of the Rings now. Like you literally like
Terry, what about the what about butt sex and what about heroin?
Okay,
though?
Sure.
Any ideas?
I guess
here?
We gotta talk about it, I guess, right? All right. It's very possible that it's butt sex. I think anything can obviously come down to that.
The thing is, it feels like it's like a smorgasbord of sexual
it's
activity.
An epic sex night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
or
think
festival or whatever.
I guess one of the things that confuses me, because I do think that this is sort of also describing the consecutive nights of celebration. So like you're eating. Now these maids are showing up, these lords are showing up.
It's a real party now.
Ladies are showing up, these pipers and these drummers are showing up, and it's turning into this thing. It's sort of in that situation, it does seem like if you're doing a quick accelerated trip from like we'll have a couple people over to like a 12-day orgy, like on the 12th day, because first of all it's just
the true love came
and it's first of all
love came on me
at the beginning. It's just you know, birds, like if that represents women, and then by the end you got like
it's everybody,
lords, these pipers, these drummers, you're like, it's sort of like leading down the rabbit
They've
hole.
They've involved
of like,
the court now. I mean, then the lords are coming in.
The way I read this is that we got maids giving hand job. We got ladies dancing with ladies. We got lords a leaping on each other.
Right.
Pipers piping. Yeah. That's oral.
And with the lords, I always think butt sex too, like we talked about earlier too.
Yeah.
With like that's the old timey way you'd have it, like, and still be like considered, you know, chaste or whatever too.
I was wondering. I think
you're 12. Oh, I cut you off. What was 12?
Oh, 12's drummers drumming. You're just hitting those skins.
Oh yeah.
It's a baker's dozen of it's a regular dozen of an orgy.
Yeah. Well, I always like to, especially with songs like this that have like a little bit older origins, I'm always like, well, what did that mean at the time?
Yeah.
Cuz that's what I was looking at with Partridge in a Pear Tree. Like maybe that was, if you said Partridge in a Pear Tree in 1780, everyone would be like,
euphemism.
I get it.
Like 69 or something.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to recover some of these terms.
Yeah.
Like that may have meant something very specific that we don't know. I think that actually has an explanation, like I said, with translation from Norman French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that confuses me the most in this song, to tell you the truth, is the lords a-leaping. And I wonder whether the same way that master has more recently been used to mean like young master, like nobody calls the King of England master. They call the young 12-year-old Prince of England master.
So this is like little lords leaping.
That's what I wonder, is what did lords mean at the time? Because it doesn't seem to me like that someone would be capable of gifting someone else fancy aristocrats to come.
It sounds like, well, if you've ever read the Anne Rice that she did under a pseudonym, the Sleeping Beauty Chronicles that she did.
Oh, okay.
It's all like S&M. Like, it's like deep. It's very good. Like, I remember reading.
Yeah, Anne Rice is nasty.
She is. I remember reading a little book called. What is it? Fifty Shades of Grey. My friend and I traded the Anne Rice. She was like, that's fine, but you should read this. And it was, I was like, oh shit. And it's like insane, but it's, the whole kind of story is that's what they would do. Like they would gift each other, like the lords and ladies.
People.
Yeah. But they would have to go like basically like learn how to pleasure everyone. And like went basically, it was like not sex trafficking, but kind of in like this like weird sex tale
swapping,
of like,
at least, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of like lords and ladies. And they had to go learn how to serve, and they'd be like sent to like some king or queen in some other land. And that's what the lords and ladies were. So it feels right. kind
you
of
show
like
show up in Bavaria and they're like, you are going to learn to suck dick here.
Yeah. Or like they like got sent to like, home. Yeah, to like Persia and shit. Like it right. was wild. Possible.
Quite possible.
Possible.
Now, I mean, that's interesting. I think the Lord of the Rings one, let's visit heroin briefly.
Heroin, I like, it wasn't speaking to me as much. I got really distracted when I learned that a turtle dove was a regular dove that had a big ass, basically. Where they're just like, those tail feathers are like.
Meow.
Yeah, that's why they call it a turtle, because it's like, badonkadonk. They got that shell.
And also, doves and pigeons are the same species.
Yeah. No, they're it's a totally arbitrary distinction, apparently.
Except that they just behave very differently. Like, yeah. Doves pair up and like sit on the ground under bushes. It's
but I think
totally
they're
different. It's
I think weird. They're like genetically the same, basically.
Well, this is interesting. I was looking into the guy himself who wrote these lyrics. Mm-hmm.
So he was on heroin, is what you're saying.
I think that's the only way to go about this is that this guy, Frederick Austin, was really accomplished, and he just like did his whole life in music at the time. Like, kind of the only game in town was Christian music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you do what you got to do.
The market demands it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this guy, Frederick Austin, was also a very talented singer and went and traveled all over Europe singing professionally.
Oh, wow.
He just also wrote this in a children's book of songs that he put out. Similar to, I'd say, first of all, who wrote Cats and...
Oh, Andrew Lloyd Webber?
T.S. Eliot.
Oh, right.
You mean the poems.
Also, I think more recently you could point to somebody like maybe even Shel Silverstein, whose output and all of his money came from children's work, but he also like...
His stuff was deep as hell, though,
wrote songs for Dr. Hook, and he was like a out there motherfucker on like in Hawaii, like doing drugs with everybody who was cool, you know? So I think there is a possibility of just saying like, okay, this is a, he put this out as a kid's book kind of, or a kid's rhyme thing just because he could, or he needed money. Mm-hmm. But really this guy was, the question is, did he encode his sort of like crazy bohemian opium smoking lifestyle into these lyrics?
Like H.R. Puff and stuff, those old cartoons where you're like, wow, this is supposed to be for kids, but this is clearly drugs.
Yeah.
Psychedelic stuff was the more recent version of it. And then this would just be like the, yeah, like, you know, like a winter festival where everybody gets fucked up and fucks each other. Everybody's doing drugs.
You got like a goose, you know. Yeah.
But there's like not just one.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like a bunch of them.
I'm going to take this goose into the other room.
I'm on Team Lord of the Rings for this shit. Straight
You're on
up.
Team Lord of the Rings?
Sean got me.
Like, I'd accept honestly, butt sex, but I think Lord of the Rings.
I'm straight up Lord of the Rings on this one.
So, but you will admit that this does not map perfectly onto Lord of the Rings, especially in terms of its numerology or in terms of how its number system maps onto the Lord of the Rings number system. But that could be excused by him purposely displacing it away from Christian numerology.
I think that's probably the case. And yeah, he doesn't have a lot of like even numbered things in the books too.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'm pretty, I guess, and the way to sort of describe that, because this is a case that we have not encountered before, which is where the song was written before Tolkien's work on Lord of the Rings. Now, I'm not going to make the argument that Tolkien's world is in any sense real. That's way outside the box of criticism, I think. The only thing to say is that Tolkien's sources and Tolkien's sort of religious and cultural mythology sprang from the same sources that Frederick Austin was accessing when he wrote these lyrics.
And I mean, I think Joseph Campbell would argue that the idea of the Hobbit's journey is a universal thing.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Sure. And the Yeah, and like, it goes all, very much along with the sort of like the themes of Christmas in particular, where the poor and the undervalued and the forgotten rise to incredible prominence.
Yeah.
The sort of wonder of Christmas is the valuing of the poor and the underestimated, and that the Lord of the Rings does exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good, yeah, yeah.
I am going to agree with you. I think that's a good argument.
Okay.
Did you want me to fight you on it? Because can if you want. But you seem disappointed that we're like, yeah, we agree. But I feel like it does come from that similar spring or well, or so to speak. Whether it's for better or worse, I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird holiday. And then the fact that I feel like we forget about a lot of these people the rest of the year is upsetting, because we feel like we can be absolved in this moment of time before the new year turns.
So. I mean, it's even more pathetic. We just give presents to our already well-off friends instead of
often,
like,
and then we give everyone else, like, we clean our houses so we get rid of all of our shit, our junk, and then we toss that over to charity.
We got
to
be more like Wenceslas, man,
dude.
Just got to go and find somebody hot and go in the
go in the woods.
Who's
go
that?
The
woods. Jeff Bezos is single right now. He should have he should have an audition for the hottest
homeless lady,
hottest homeless lady in America, and he turns her into an heiress.
Yeah.
Oh my god, can you imagine? This is so Prince and Pauper shit. I hate it.
On Amazon Prime in 2020.
Yeah, I hate everything about it. But I mean, I think short answer on that is that we need more systematic protections for our poor people, because it's heartbreaking to see people out here, even in the mild cold we have in Los Angeles, homeless on the streets. But at the same time, it's like, do you want to take this person into your house and clean them up and get them a job and get them mental health counseling? That's a tall order. On that note,
happy Christmas? Question mark. Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Let's get into our brand new segment, and we'll make this brief.
I think we should let Terry pick for next time.
Terry? Okay.
Oh, God. That's a lot of
Terry,
pressure.
Do you want to pick our next two songs?
Okay, sure.
This is the continuing honor.
Oh my God, I couldn't be more thank you. I want to thank my mom and dad.
Okay, so I'm going to list off 10 songs.
Okay, and I'm going to pick from those 10 again.
Yeah, maybe even write them down so that you can circle them and as you like them.
Mm-hmm.
Criminal by Fiona Apple. Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh.
Good song.
Hotel California by the Eagles.
Oh, that's too easy. Too obvious. Sorry.
Okay. Bees in the Trap by Nicki Minaj and 2 Chainz.
Nice.
Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol.
Oh, I love that song. That's probably one of my top picks right there.
Okay. I think he almost blinded himself making that video.
Oh, really? The pyrotechnics?
Yeah, like the contacts melted on him.
Oh, boy.
That's terrifying.
Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Yeah, one of the number one karaoke songs of all time.
It is very popular. And then I think I got one more, right?
Two more.
Dancing on My Own by Robin.
That's a great song, too. Also a very big karaoke hit.
Especially
when they're drunk and they've just broken up. That's like...
Oh, my God.
Hungry Like the Wolf,
Duran. I was listening to that in the shower this morning.
What do you think? We got
definitely Eyes Without a Face, because I would love to hear what you
Eyes
guys
Without
have to
a
say
Face.
About that, because I love that freaking song.
It's a great song based on a French new wave film that's really bizarre as well. So we are going to do Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol on the next show.
Yeah, you're going to do that. And then I think you guys should also do Bees in the Trap.
Bees in the Trap.
I think you guys have
I
a fun
love
show
it.
With those together.
Hell fucking yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to do Nicki Minaj and 2 Chainz, Bees in the Trap, and Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol on the next episode of Heroin, Butt Sex, and the Lord of the Rings, which will be in 2020.
Yeah.
2020!
Where we see clearly. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining us on this fantastic Christmas episode of our holiday episode of Heroin, Butt Sex, and the Lord of the Rings. Thank you so much for joining us, Terry.
Thank you. You're pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You are the best. We love to have you here. Please come back again.
Oh, anytime.
And so far, what we have today is Good King Wenceslas is about butt sex.
Yep.
And the 12 Days of Christmas is
about and drawn from the same psychic
cultural meme, collective unconscious energy, collective unconsciousness.
Collective unconsciousness.
The hero of a thousand faces is Joseph Campbell. It's the same hero making this.
I think so. Anglo-Saxon centered mythology and religion.
You just said some white shit. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys didn't know, Lord of the Rings is some white shit.
Yeah. It's some white people shit. I'm into it, though, but like, it is.
You know. Yeah. This has been Heroin, Black Sex, and Lord of the Rings. Richie Molino saying goodbye. Thank you very much, Terry.
Yeah, bye, guys. Happy New Year.
And thank you, as always, Sean. This is always a pleasure.
That's great. Thanks.
You know, this is the end of our first little year here. It's been less than a year since we started, but you're stuck with us.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time on Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. Make sure to write in with your theories on Billy Idol and Nicki Minaj for the next episode. Leave us anything you want to leave us on the voicemail or write us a cool email. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye.